Hello, my name is Mike Peering from Kenosha, Wisconsin. First time at an NRC convention. I'd like to welcome all my fellow listeners to Milwaukee.
And welcome back to Side 2 of this cassette, the DX Audio Service for November 1988. Hello, I'm Fred Vobey. Well, as you heard on Side 1 of this cassette, we have a lot of active radio amateurs in the organization, both on the editorial and publication side, but also on the membership side, too. I'd like to make a quick mention to each and every one of you that are active radio amateurs. We're in the process of putting together the ham radio list. Now, in the past, some hams do not want to be put on this particular list. So here's what we're going to be doing. For the next 30 days, if you would like to be included on the ham radio list, please send us your name, your call sign, your class of license, and the bands that you normally work. Send that to me here at the DX Audio Service, 706 McKenzie, that's M-A-C, capital K-E-N-Z-I-E, Lima, Ohio, 45805-1835. Now, if you subscribe via the returnable rate, you can just probably put a little piece of paper inside the box with the cassette. That would be fine. Otherwise, just jot it down on the back of a 13-cent postcard and mail it to me here at the DX Audio Service. Now, if we don't receive information from you that you are an active radio amateur, your name will not be put on the list. And then in the next edition of the DX Audio Service, we hope to compile all the information and give you the entire list of membership of all those who are active hams in the National Radio Club. Just as a point of interest, I've been working a lot of single sideband on 28.4 to the West Coast, to 6 and 7 land, and have been having very good luck. 5-9 all the way from both myself and the people I've been talking to. I've also made contacts down in Florida and also on the East Coast. So 28.4 seems to be a pretty nice band for rag-chewing, should we say. And the best time to listen is usually between 3 to 7 o'clock Eastern time. If I happen to get on, I'm usually on Saturday evenings and afternoons. And if you hear me, give me a call. I'll be more than happy to sit down and jaw with you for an extended period of time. The call sign here is KB8BMQ. Big Mammoth Question is what we came up with. If you can think of anything else, well, the jury is still out on that.
Friday, October 7th, 1988, 5:30 p.m., a milestone in U.S. broadcasting history. Since the early 1920s, the familiar radio spot in New York, 660 on the dial, was WEAF, and then it was WRCA for a time, and then WNBC, and it led the way in advertising and remote broadcasts and technology. But now it's the realities of the 1980s, and the General Electric Company owns NBC, having purchased RCA several years ago. And there was no room in the GE portfolio for radio broadcasting stations. So what we're going to let you hear now is what happened at 5:30 on October 7th, the day that WNBC ceased to exist. Here's really what you'll hear. First, we had a radio set to 660 on the dial, so you could hear WNBC go with the rest of us. And we had another radio cassette recorder going at 1050 on the dial. Now, here's why. WFAN, owned by the Emmis Broadcasting Company in New York, had purchased the 660 license. And their intention, and what happened was, they moved WFAN from 1050 down to 660 on the dial. But now, you talk about confusion. Let me set the scene for you. You're going to hear a radio cassette recording made at 1050 on the dial, and what you're hearing will be Pete Franklin, the sportscaster from WFAN, and Don Imus, the morning man from the old 660 slot, WNBC, and they're going to be talking together. They both came from Cleveland, incidentally, so there's a certain synergy going for them both. But they're standing in a rain-soaked parking lot in Shea Stadium, just outside of Shea Stadium, in New York City. And that was the game, that was the number three game of the playoffs between the Dodgers and the New York Mets, if you remember, the one that got rained out, finally. But let's just tune in now and hear what these fellas are saying. It's less than a minute now before the 5:30 changeover from WFAN to WNBC is made. Listen.
How are we going to do this? Does anybody know?
Easy. Someone's going to throw a switch. Who's going to? We're going to count down to 10, all of us. If you count to 10, you keep the job.
You have to count backwards, please.
That's thank you.
This could be a problem.
Well, folks, we're about 30 seconds away from this historic moment, and I hope it ends real soon.
You want to listen?
I'm getting fed up. I'm getting damp. I have to change my underwear before the game tonight. Really. Yep. I can only take so much.
Pete, this is official here. So.
Oh, this is official.
So when we get to 50, well, you can start counting.
All right, thank you. You going to help? All right, folks, it's 40. All right, here it is. Oh, it's exciting.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Sports Radio 66. This is WUKQAM New York, operating at 1050 kilohertz. If you're looking for Sports Radio 1050, we've moved down the dial to 66 AM. Join us now for the new Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
And for about the next 15 or 20 minutes, that's all you heard at 10:50 on the dial. Now, I didn't touch anything. What you just heard was precisely what was on the air at 10:50 on the dial at around 5:30 on October 7th. But now, the lighthearted spirit in the parking lot at Shea Stadium, rainy as it was not being reflected all across town at the WNBC studios. Alan Combs, the well-known interviewer, was the last announcer on WNBC, and this is what it sounded like. Oh, by the way, pay particular attention right at the end to the station break, because what you heard was the beginning of a station break for 6:60, only you were listening to 10:50, right? Oh, you talk about confusion. Listen to this now.
Let me just say a few final words, and we're all going to count down to the end of NBC, WNBC Radio, that is. You know, when I first broadcast on this station, it was a realization of a lifelong dream. But I never imagined during my first moments on WNBC that the last seconds I would have on the station would be the last seconds anybody would have. It's a historic moment that belongs not just to me, but also to every broadcaster who ever graced the microphones, every worker at WNBC who made this station great, and to each listener who supported us through the years. I'm Alan Combs. Thank you, God bless you. And for the last time, this is 66 WNBC New York. Let's do the countdown. 10,
9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You heard the countdown. It's over.
Oh. Radio 66, WFAN New York.
And with that inauspicious start, 660 in New York became WFAN.
Just about all of us have been influenced at one point or another by the station at 30 Rock. And as with any obit, we like to leave you with some good memories.
WNBC. WNBC. Your great escape.
John, as a postscript to this particular story, I'd like to say a few words on behalf of a friend now gone. WNBC, to me, was one of the classier NBC-owned and operated stations. I don't know if it's the certain arrogance the station had, or the fact that it was located at 30 Rock, or maybe it was just the music and personality selection. Whatever it was one heck of a radio station. And as I sit here staring at a QSL card from 1969 that bears the call letters WNBC AM FM TV, I can't help but think that a friend is now gone. So here's to you, WNBC. Thank you for many memories.
WNBC.
Thanks once again, Fred. This is Market Scope for November 1988, and I'm Phil Wade. Another one bites the dust. 50,000 watt KLOK radio, 1170 kilohertz in San Jose, California, was recently sold and changed formats. Of course, Market Scope spies were there to record the change.
Let's see, who else have we left out? Fremont, you'll be up to 78 today, and 87 down in Morgan Hill. And right now we have 61 degrees at KLOK. It's our last day. Actually, yesterday was our official last day.
We keep saying goodbye, don't we, Tim?
Yeah. By the way, if you hate the music you're hearing this morning, it's because we brought it from home. Yesterday, as you know, the train came through, took out the music. It's going to be in the KLOK archives, in the vaults of the Den of Antiquity, as we call it. And that's going to go under wraps for safekeeping. So a lot of the stuff was donated to us today to play. So I hope you like it. If you don't,
home barbecues are
too
nice.
Bad. What is happening on our freeways this morning?
Well, they've cleared the accident on Highway 101 northbound. That was down at Hellier. On the peninsula, we have an accident reported now southbound at Highway 280 on the Woodside Road off-ramp. We have a stall blocking a lane over on Highway 1, southbound 280 at Highway 1, actually. And a dresser.
What?
We have a chest of dresser drawers, I think, in the roadway now. Well, why would people toss that off? Well, I guess it fell off a truck, right?
Oh, okay.
This is southbound 280 at Page Mill Road.
Either that or they're doing a commercial to see how well-made the stuff is.
Yeah.
Jack Wagner at AM 1170 Clock Radio. It's 7:46, 14 away from 8. And we're going to check your weather forecast in case you haven't heard yet. Morning low clouds, sunny this afternoon with highs in the 70s and 80s. 79 is the forecast high in San Jose today. Right now, it is 62 degrees outside. At clock, here's Fleetwood Mac.
AM 1170, KLOK, San Jose, San Francisco.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's 7 minutes past nine. Now we got Air Supply, One More Chance. This is KLOK.
You pick the hits,
you pick
the hits.
Clock Radio. Good morning. Who is this mystery voice? Well, I'm back again for how long? About 25 minutes. We're here for the big ceremony, the big switch to KLOK Radio. Stick around. The big ceremony comes up at noon. I'll be here till that time. Well, the Pointer Sisters right now at 11:35. AM 1170 Clock Radio. Good morning. This is Jim Phillips. Radio history being made today. After 11 years, my association with Clock Radio is about to end, but new people are coming on. We've got a big ceremony coming up at 12 noon, so stay with us. Annie Murray at AM 1170 Clock Radio. That was one of the first songs I played here 11 years ago on the air. Clock time is now 11:45. And this is Jim Phillips, Radio History, coming up in about 15 minutes when we turn over this radio station, that's THIS and THIS-FM, to a bunch of nice people who do a good job here for the community. It's the Bahia Radio Incorporated. You stick around. Clock Radio. I love you, San Jose and the Bay Area. This is Jim Phillips, and we leave you with the last song of KLOK from the 3 Degrees. And when will I see you again? I'll be in the Bay Area in just a moment. At 12 noon, we have radio history coming up right here on 50,000 Watt KLOK. KLOK, San Jose, San Francisco. Today is August 9th, 1988. This is Jim Phillips, and it was now with great pleasure that we turn these clock microphones. This radio station has been on the air since 1947 and undergone two format changes in those times. Ladies and gentlemen, I welcome a new partner to our community here in San Jose. It's going to be great for the bilingual speaking people and also the Hispanic community. We wish you a lot of luck. This is Gustavo Medrano, the program director of the new radio clock, KLOK. And it's with great pleasure that I now turn this microphone over to you and wish you congratulations and much continued success.
Thank you very much, Jim. Muchísimas gracias, Jim. Son las 12 en punto del mediodía. Auditorio del Norte de California. Desde estos precisos momentos, KLOK inicia sus transmisiones totalmente en español las 24 horas del día. Este hecho trascendental para la comunidad latinoamericana de esta zona fue posible gracias a la corporación Bahía Radio, cuyos personeros son su presidente Denny Villanueva, hijo, vicepresidente Jimmy Villanueva, y consultor Dave Sweeney. Bahía Radio ha encomendado la dirección de Radio Reloj al gerente general de la estación hermana KBRG, señor Carlos Duarte. Queremos agradecer en todo lo que vale la presencia de varios medios de comunicación que compartirán con ustedes y nosotros este acontecimiento, siendo ellos KSTS, Canal 48, KDTV, Canal 14, KRON, Canal 4, KGO, Canal 7, KNTV, Canal 11, de la prensa escrita, La Oferta, Magazine Deportivo, Voz Latina y El Avisador. Y claro está, como todos buenos latinoamericanos, esto tenemos que celebrarlo, pero en grande. Para eso, hemos preparado una gran fiesta a la que ustedes, a través de su radio, podrán asistir. Los conductores serán María Asunción, Olga Cristina, Luis Echegoyen y Raúl Brindis. Señoras y señores, con la nueva radio Reloj, KLOK nace en el norte de California un nuevo sol. Este sol es latinoamericano y brillará para todos. Y ahora, ¿qué les parece si iniciamos la fiesta?
KLOK, Radio Reloj. Radio Reloj, 1170.
And a bit of otherness from the Bay Area. That's the KVYN three-day weather forecast.
Thank you, Vance. It's 55 degrees outside.
And now, more of Napa Valley's hit music, KVYN. 99.3 KVYN, St. Helena, Napa, Yountville, your hit FM.
Well, good morning to you. 10 o'clock, 56 degrees outside. I'm Chris Powell. Yes, and she works hard for her money. Keep listening. Richard Marks coming up this hour. Here's Donna Summer.
K-O-S-Y, coffee 1050.
Nifty 1050 Coffee Radio, Help Me Rhonda by the Beach Boys, and also Breathless by Jerry Lee Lewis. I'm Mike State on AM Super Stereo, the Nifty 1050, the hot 50,000-watt hotspot coffee radio. And I'm Breathless. It is 8 minutes before 5. Stately here. We're going to do, if you're listening on a stereo system right now, we're going to do a little experiment next with Lloyd Price and Stagger Lee. Stay right there on coffee. Hope you have an AM stereo, because here's a little experiment. I'm going to play Stagger Lee by Lloyd Price first, about the first part of the song in mono, and then we're going to transfer, and I will play the version we have in stereo off the compact laser disc. If you're listening on AM stereo right now, you can compare the two and see what a difference it's going to make. And if you don't have an AM stereo, you can hop in the car right now, go out to your nearest electronics department and get one, so you can enjoy all the great music here on Coffee Radio. All right, first the great Lloyd Price New Orleans song, Stagger Lee, first part in mono, and then I'll tell you when we switch to stereo.
The night was clear.
T1050, Coffee Radio, and Kyu Sakamoto and Sukiyaki. Remember, now tomorrow morning, we begin the lottery ticket giveaway once again. Your chance to become a millionaire. And later in the week, we will draw for the great, great cruise. So be here tomorrow for AM Super Stereo on KOFY, San Mateo, San Francisco.
Coffee Radio, Coffee 1050.
I'm Mike State in your left channel and right channel, AM Super Stereo, Diana Ross and the Supremes on Coffee and Love Child.
K-O-F-Y, K-O-F-Y, Coffee 1050, Coffee 1050, Coffee 1050.
It's summertime,
What's his name?
And good morning to you. James Gabbard in for Ken Dito, who is Ditoing on his way on vacation someplace. We're going to be around up until 10 o'clock this morning in stereo. And when we kick in the full 50,000 watts at 6:30, I've got a stereo adventure for you, those of you who are fortunate enough to have AM stereo in your car. And guess what? We have CDs, we have music, and we have something for you right now. 6 o'clock, good morning.
Thanks to Marty Rimpaugh of Oakland, California, for providing Market Scope with an interesting tape to share with you. This is Phil Wayne. See you next month. But now, here's the guy whose radio is stuck on one channel every month, Mr. Travelog and Mr. Trivia, John Bowker.
One of the many advantages of attending the NRC annual conventions, such as we had at Milwaukee this year, is gives you an opportunity to meet new people. And I had the delightful experience over the Labor Day weekend to meet Werner Roetsch from Switzerland. He was one of the several fellas that showed up from out of the United States. And Werner is from Bern, Switzerland. Am I saying that about right, Werner?
That's correct.
Well, good. Werner, having you here gives me all kinds of mind-boggling opportunities, but let's see if we can take advantage of it. Basically, when you turn a radio on in Switzerland, what do you hear?
Oh, you hear a lot of different stations, not only on FM, but also on medium wave. You got stations from at least all over Europe, and a couple of them coming in from Africa in very good quality.
Well, now, let's see. In Switzerland, as here, Does the average person listen to the radio at all?
They do, but I think nowadays nobody cares about medium wave anymore.
And let's see, you have long wave too, below 530 on the dial, down in the 200 kilohertz area, is that right?
We do, but nobody cares about long wave either.
Yeah, I can understand. But if you tune to the long wave stations, what do you hear? Is there music, or is it all news, or government politics, or what?
Well, the long wave stations that there are still on the air, they just relay their government programs. There are not too many stations around anymore. So I know there's from France. There are like two transmitters in France. Radio Luxembourg is in long wave. And Deutschlandfunk in West Germany, and a couple of the East German countries.
Well, coming back to medium wave now, what language do they transmit in?
Well, in Switzerland there are still four AM transmitters, and three of them each relay the different government programs. There are government relay networks in German, French, and Italian. And so each of those transmitters relays either German, French, or Italian.
Well, now, Werner, you speak German and Italian and French and English very well, I might say. But so you can understand what they're all saying. Do they all have the same program, really, just in different languages?
Each network is responsible for his own and has his own news staff and people. They have their own headquarters, but I think it's basically the same what they produce.
Well, there are a number of other things that I'd like to get into with you, Werner, but we'll have you back on another edition of DX Audio Service, and thanks so much for spending some time with us today.
Oh, you're very welcome.
The National Radio Club's 9th edition of the AM Radio Log is now available, containing over 200 pages with over 6,000 AM radio station listings from the United States and Canada. Each station listing consists of its location, frequency, call letters, format, news network, address, antenna pattern, and power of station, plus much more. If you are in the United States, the cost of the book is $12.95 U.S. If you are in Canada or Mexico, the price is $13.95 U.S. If you are ordering from Central or South America or the Caribbean, the price of the book is $16. If you are ordering from Great Britain, Western Europe, or Northern Africa, the cost of your book is $19. And if you are ordering from any other country, the cost of this book is $23. Send your order to the National Radio Club Publication Center, Box 164, Mansville, New York, United States of America. Zip code is 13661.
And that, of course, is the written publication from the DX Audio Service. At the present time, we're going to explore possibilities of putting out a version on cassette for our members of the DX Audio Service. Well, if you remember on our last edition of the DX Audio Service, Tina Ramos was in with a look at Radio New York International, the pirate station run by two individuals on the East Coast. At one time, it was thought that the station would be permanently anchored in Boston, never to be heard from again. However, it has cropped up in the news. And here's Tino's report.
Well, Fred, you recall last edition of the DX Audio Service, the Sarah, or Radio New York International, was put into docking this summer. RNI is a pirate radio station that made radio waves, so to speak, off of Boston. Well, now the Sarah is in Long Island, and it's presently waiting for court approval to rock and roll again. The station's operation manager, 31-year-old Randy Steele, says the station is establishing its maritime right to be there. The 170-foot ship had been in Boston Harbor until it was towed back to Long Beach. Steele says the radio is ready to be fired up at a moment's notice, but he adds that he will not go back to the air until he has all cleared up legal hassles, perhaps in a month or two. But if no judicial relief comes, Steele says he's ready to go out to sea all winter. Matter of fact, the station has even gone as far as to place advertisement in the classifieds, requesting help from people interested in hard work, and not to mention, willing to live at sea. Well, just to recap your memory, the pirate station was knocked off the air last summer by the Federal Communications Commission, but Steele argued that the ship was beyond the 3-mile territorial limits of the United States, and therefore not bound by the FCC regulations. The station broadcast briefly on 1620 kilohertz on the AM, 103.1 megahertz FM, and 6240 kilohertz on the shortwave. Steele contends that 1620 kilohertz is a clear channel because the FCC does not license stations on frequencies above 1600 on the dial. Stay tuned for the continuing saga of the NRI and the Sarah. Didn't they used to be on a soap opera together? This is Tino Ramos for the DX Audio Service.
As many of you know, I have a personal view on AM broadcasting, and that is that the reason that AM broadcasting is basically declining while FM is gaining is that AM radio stations seldom have any type of programming to compete with a FM broadcaster. Let's face it, in a lot of markets, AM programming stinks. National Public Radio has a different viewpoint. And with a report, here's NPR correspondents.
Chances are that right now you're listening to this program on the FM band of your radio. In fact, the latest industry ratings suggest that 75% of all radio listening is to FM. After decades of dominating the airwaves, AM listening has dropped to an all-time low. As commentator Richard Mahler explains, many AM stations are struggling for survival, and some are going off the air.
Tune the AM dial these days, and this is what you will hear. Lots of static, plenty of talk shows, quite a few foreign language broadcasts, a handful of vintage rock and roll stations, and not much else.
This is AM 81, KMIK, Santa Fe and Espanola, now concluding another broadcast day. The staff and management would sure like to thank you, and please join us tomorrow morning at 6 a.m.
When this nighttime disc jockey in Santa Fe, New Mexico, thanks listeners for tuning in, he's protecting the investment of majority owner and general manager Bill Sims, who last October signed on a new AM radio station at a time when many longtime operators are signing off. Sims quickly found out why.
After 6 months of doing news and talk, we just stopped. We made a number of tactical errors, and it's embarrassing. I've been at this business for 30 years. I have done nothing but radio since I was 17 years old. This is my 11th license that I've had ownership in, and I just blew it. I hadn't been in AM for a while and read all the things about what happened with the audience, that it was getting older and that there was less of it. I guess I didn't believe it.
Sims recently switched his station to Oldies Rock and made other changes that have stopped the financial hemorrhaging. But he's ready to sell KMIK less than a year after he started it. His problems are identical to those burdening even the biggest players in AM radio, including Norm Pattiz, founder and chairman of Westwood One. Westwood One is the biggest producer of syndicated radio shows and owns the Mutual and NBC radio networks. The company is acquiring WNEW-AM, a New York powerhouse that has fallen on hard times.
We plan on keeping WNEW in its big band format from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., but then after 7 o'clock, we'll deploy our NBC TalkNet programming and the Larry King Show and programming of that sort, which should cut the radio station's operating costs significantly. That's why the network kind of talk programming that we're doing has had great success at the local radio station level, especially with AMs, because it gives them programming that they probably couldn't or wouldn't produce for themselves. It lowers their cost of local production.
Norm Pattiz sees pockets of strength in AM radio, but admits that the better sound quality of FM and the stodgy image of AM have given FM stations a very strong competitive edge.
The potential for success on AM radio for music formats will have a lot to do with whether a practical form of AM stereo becomes viable.
Small station managers are even more explicit in their demand for a single AM stereo technical standard, which the Federal Communications Commission refuses to establish because Reagan administration appointees strongly feel that the marketplace should decide what system works best. KMIK's Bob Sims says that's irresponsible.
There was a standard for color television, a standard for UHF and VHF combo stereo sets. There's now a standard for television stereo. There was certainly a standard for FM stereo back when. Why in God's name did they not have a standard for AM stereo and still don't today? It's not going to be the salvation of AM radio, but it would help.
Dan Brenner is director of the Communications Law Program at the University of California, but he spent most of the last 7 years as a senior advisor to former FCC Chairman Mark Fowler, the mastermind of media deregulation. In hindsight, Brenner now believes the FCC made a mistake.
There were reasons the commission took that approach. It felt at the time that had the commission made the decision rather than letting the marketplace, it would have led to a court battle, and the commission didn't have a very good reason at that point to pick one over another. Today, or even before today, the commission, I think, could have come to the conclusion that whether or not we can justify it on some superior technical grounds, the slowdown or the lack of development of AM stereo is being caused by our indecision, and we should make a decision.
Since the FCC policymakers are political appointees, there's little chance that any major decisions regarding AM radio's future will be made during the next 6 months. In the meantime, both the National Association of Broadcasters and the government are sticking by their marketplace approach. Surprisingly, this survival of the fittest philosophy is something broadcaster Norm Pattiz and his colleagues are comfortable with, even if it costs them listeners, money, and stations.
There are nearly 10,000 radio stations licensed to broadcast in the United States, and well over 9,000 of those are commercial radio stations. And the fact that the music listening audience has migrated to the FM band seems to be something that was a very natural progression. AM is not what AM was 10 or 20 years ago, but then again, there was no FM supplying those kinds of services. The radio business might just be better off with fewer AM radio stations.
The result of all this may be a new kind of AM band with far fewer stations that are more specialized than ever before, with formats such as all sports, Spanish language, heavy metal music, comedy, or even children's programming. Stay tuned.
Commentator Richard Mahler is contributing editor of Electronic Media Magazine.
And that report was from National Public Radio, sent in by one of our subscribers to the DX Audio Service. I'd like to pose this particular question to you, the membership. Do you think that the FCC should have selected a single AM stereo system? And if so, or if not, why? Give us your answer by calling us on the DX Audio Service Action Line, area code 419-224-3916.
Welcome to the front page of the DX Audio Service. I'm Paul Swearingen, the editor of DX News Magazine. Some odds and ends of things that I want to bring to you today. Nothing really heavy. Remind you that last month I talked about Tom Nitel and his impact on the broadcast community as well as the hobby community. And my basic thoughts were that he was very entertaining, an excellent writer, but his comments were not of much use to the hobby, the radio club hobby, especially the broadcast band hobby. And I have received a few positive comments about my comments, but nothing really exciting overall. So if you do have any thoughts, I would appreciate your passing them along to me, both positive and negative. As far as radio goes, FCC figures now show 10,348 AM and FM stations broadcasting as of last July, compared to 10,337 a month ago. AMs total 4,914, commercial FMs 4,089, and educational FMs 1,345, and that is not including 1,594 FM translators. Now, some figures taken from the Radio Advertising Bureau via Glenn Kippel of IRCA. AM radio is not all talk programming, and the stats reveal that the most common format on AM radio is AdCom at 18.3%, followed by country at 17.8%, religious 14.1%, MOR and nostalgia at 11.8%, and then here's news talk at 7.0%, oldies at 6.6%, and then a few other miscellaneous formats. And I'd be willing to bet, however, that the news talk formats probably dominate the radio in most of the markets that they're in. So it's interesting that some stations, there are two, three stations now that are going to the old Elvis format, plus WHBQ AM in Memphis has abandoned its news talk format for music. And the new owner, George S. Flynn Jr., has hired disc jockeys George Klein and Bob McLean to return to the station where they worked when it was a rock powerhouse in the 1960s and 1970s. He says that the new format will be classic hits, which will be music from the 50s through the 80s, including, he says, some cuts from current selections if they blend in. Now, the new program director, Tom Gurley, says that the new format of WHBQ will be different from that of oldies station WRVR AM 68 in the same city. Ours will be more personality involved, more Memphis involved. We want to let folks know what's going on in the city and entertain them at the same time. Well, that sounds good, and I hope more stations emulate them, and I hope they do well with it. Let's go underground, literally, for our next item, and this is from Ray Cole, whom, if you remember, has been studying frequency deviations, which he feels can indicate some earthquake activity. After reading more than a half dozen scientific reports, most by Russian or Japanese scientists, concerning the recording of radio signals and ground electrical currents just prior to quakes and conducting the following test, it finally became clear as to the immediate cause and operation of apparent frequency deviations, Ray says. Scientists have recorded radio frequency emissions from 1.5 kilohertz to 1.63 megahertz at least 30 minutes prior to quakes, and electrical ground currents from a few microvolts up to tens of hundreds of volts per meter, more than enough to cause underground quartz crystals to sing a radio frequency song. One RF recording was made just prior to a quake and with an epicenter 300 miles deep, according to seismographs. This is not yet understood. Now, the following test was made at a time on a local station, and he lives near Cape Girardeau, Missouri. A local station on 1220 kilohertz showed an apparent deviation of 8 kilohertz up to 1228 on accurate dials on two separate brands of receivers. Now, you have to get this picture. He's tuning across his band, and all of a sudden stations which normally you would think would always be very close to their original assigned frequency, they jump 8 kilohertz. He says that the station was tuned very exactly. A variable frequency oscillator was set up nearby, but not connected to the receiver. Its signal was then zeroed in atop the station's signal. The VFO was connected to a new state-of-the-art borrowed frequency meter, and which then gave a readout of 1220 kilohertz, not 1228. This was repeated exactly with the other receiver with the same exact results. The solution to this puzzle finally became obvious. An RF signal of 8 kilohertz was being picked up by the receivers and, following heterodyne principles, was being added to the 1220 signal of both the station signal and the VFO signal. The result was 1228 on the dial for both. But being directly connected to the VFO, the frequency meter got only the VFO signal and had no way of picking up the 8 kilohertz signal in the air, so it gave a reading of only 1220 kilohertz. Therefore, in the quake fault area, at that particular moment, quartz under pressure in the ground was generating an 8 kilohertz signal. Further investigation may well reveal that this signal is quite broad, say from 1.5 to 15 kilohertz, since it seems that the deviations on the dial vary some from station to station. Another consideration is that it is possible that there are many pockets of quartz under pressure, each transmitting at its own peculiar frequency, most of them within the above range. So far it seems definite that as fault pressures increase, frequencies increase. And so, as amply indicated, since December of 86, apparent frequency deviations are a good measurement of fault pressure. The theory of the mixing of signals was advanced to Ray Cole over a year ago by a radio engineer, Joe Ballas, but never had such an extremely low-frequency signal entered my mind, he says. It is like falling over a chair in your darkened living room when you know that it has been in that spot for over a year. So he says an AM radio with a very accurate reworked dial can follow these week-to-week, even hour-to-hour changes in fault pressures, while very expensive specialized equipment will pick up and record the RF signals unmodulated directly on their own frequency. So he feels that he has found the cause of AM band frequency deviations. Well, that's about all the time I have. This has been Paul Swearingen, editor of DX News, with the front page for the DX Audio Service.
And now it's time for our DX Change column. We have two R390As at $150 each, one cabinet for an R390 at $25, a Heath SB620 analyzer for $75, a CV657A SSB converter for $30, a Cushcraft A3 beam for 10, 15, or 20 meters, new in box, $200, two PMO, that's Portable Master Oscillators from Technical Materials Corporation for $30 $60 each, a Heath DX60B transmitter with extra 6146 tubes, and a Heath HG10B VFO for $75 for both of them, plus 5 miles of 16-gauge insulated wire, which is great for beverage antennas, which is free. I assume that's pickup only on the wire. Contact Bill D. Swigger, S-W-I-G-E-R, Route 1, Box 142A, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330, or call him at area code 304-842-4635. And if you have something to contribute to the DX Change column, all you have to do is send it on a piece of paper with your name, address, and phone number to the DX Change column, care of Paul Swearingen, S-W-E-A-R-I-N-G-E-N, and the address is 3132 Southeast Irvingham Street, Topeka, Kansas, 66605-2948. And a couple more messages to pass on to the membership. First of all, I received a call on the action line from Dana Yeomans, who informs me that him and several other members have a net. And perhaps, Dana, what you can do is call back the action line and let us know the frequencies and what all transpires on a net, and perhaps a schedule. And some of the people who are not hams but have access to shortwave receivers can give a listen and see what's going on. Now, speaking of the action line will be down for approximately 10 days sometime between now and the next edition of the audio service. We will set it up so that it does not answer, so you don't get charged for a call, but please keep in mind it will be down for maintenance for a brief time. And that's it. No more time for us. We'll see you on the December edition of the DX Audio Service.